IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Thursday, December 12th. We are now 8 days away, Trevor, from Notre Dame kicking off the 2024 college football playoff. They will host the Indiana Hoosiers, and we are going to have so much to say about this breakdown next week, Trev. A whole lot to say, but today, as we said, is still going to be focused on Notre Dame. And on Tuesday, we talked about the Notre Dame offense. Yesterday, we talked about the special teams. We did some breakout players. We had a super fun Bisa hold yesterday. Trev and I were talking about that after the show. That was such a great – you guys did such a great job with your submissions yesterday. So many thoughtful submissions because, like, there's several we had to kind of think about, like, And that's a – you know it's a good submission when we have to kind of pause and think about it, or we have to say sell, but we, like, really liked the way the thing was brought on. It was really, really well done. We're back for more action today, and today we're going to talk about the Notre Dame defense. Again, with the focus being on not Indiana, but looking at the playoff as a whole. Where is Notre Dame's defense right now? We'll kind of go through a look back through the season. It's been a very trying season for the Notre Dame defense, which just says a lot about just how good they are. But, you know, how they got here, what are the strengths of this defense? What are the areas of concern? You know, what are the things they need to really do well in the playoff to have success? You know, what are the things that they need to improve upon to have success? And then we'll do our three keys. And Trev and I were having a lot of conversation about that, what those three keys are. And so we came down to three that we really like. And then, of course, we'll kind of wrap things up there. Going to be a fun day, Trev. I'm excited about this show. You had Notre Dame UConn ladies on tonight at 7. That's going to be a great game. Can't wait for that. That's why there will be no – well, actually, I don't know if there will be an IB Nation Sports Talk tonight. I don't know if Sean or if Vince and those guys are going to cover that. But Stires will be doing the play-by-play. So if you're not able to watch the game, you can listen to it. You can listen to our Sean Stires doing the play-by-play of that game. So going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to have a little bit of a special guest here, Trev, coming on. We're gonna have a little conversation with somebody first before we kind of get rocking and rolling. But I'm waiting on him to show up that I haven't given you a heads up on. So let's kick things off, Trev. You know what to do, right? You know where to go with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Pump for the special guest. I love surprises. But what's not surprising, my friends, is our friends over at MyBookie. You know we got to talk about them. They've been ripping off some great things this year. And if you're unfamiliar with where we're at, and you want to sign up, MyBookie's a sports book similar to the DraftKings and the FanDuels of the world. But our friends over at MyBookie have some killer promotions going on right now. One of them being is if you sign up and use promo code Irish, I-R-I-S-H, what that's going to do for you is it's going to double your deposit bonus. So that means if you put in $15, MyBookie is going to match your $15 and give you an additional $15 to bet with. So we've talked about it a lot. MyBookie risk-free Thursdays. You can take advantage of that tonight. Tonight, the Rams take on the 49ers in a divisional matchup in the NFL, so make sure that you take advantage of that. All the risk-free means is if your bet hits, you cash out in a big way. If for whatever reason you don't hit, then you get your money back, thus risk-free. You can find that under the Bets Boost tab. Now, if you are a little bit burnt out on sports betting, sometimes I know I get there too, be sure to check out the live casino. So if you're somebody that likes to go to the casino, we've talked about it before, it intimidates me a little bit, so maybe I need to take some baby steps and start out by trying it out on my phone, chilling on my couch, playing some blackjack. So make sure that you go and you check out MyBookie's live casino. When you enroll, be sure to enroll in their loyalty rewards program. You're going to earn extra cash just for placing down some bets. So be sure to check out our friends over at MyBookie. You can bet anything, anywhere, anytime with our friends over there. Check them out.
So Trevor, before we get started today, I have a little special treat for you and I have a little special treat for the rest of the audience. So, you know, you see a lot of the takes on Notre Dame and they kind of range in a lot of different views. And there's a lot of people I'm just like, I'm not listening to that guy. I'm not listening to that guy. But one person whose opinion I really like and respect is this guy. I don't know if some of you might have heard him, named Bill Troche, you know, kind of hosts a show here at CFB Nation. And Bill put out his predictions for the college football playoff. He put his name on it, Trev. Right, he didn't just talk about it. He put his name on it. And we're going to be joined by our guy, Bill Troche. And he's going to tell us who he picked to win the national championship this year and why. So, Bill, thanks for joining us here at Irish Breakdown, my friend.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I really enjoy working with you guys and working with the CFB Nation podcast, All America podcast. Very fun with Bill Bender. And, yeah, I mean, it's the third year of a coach at Notre Dame. He's a good coach.
Kind of a pattern, right?
Could have filled it in in August, Brian.
There you go. Well, Bill, it's kind of funny. You and I have done a lot of shows together. We've talked. We've known each other for years. It's interesting. Saturday of the Georgia Tech game was the first time that we had met in person because you were at that game. You got a chance to see Notre Dame up close and personal against the Georgia Tech team that I know you're familiar with and covering the different aspects of that. And so the playoff is released. You get the bracketology. First, just kind of talk us through just kind of how you approached going into this kind of prediction, because you went through each round and made your picks and there's some interesting ones. There's not a lot different from mine, to be honest with you, Bill. I haven't shared what mine is, but just kind of talk about us, just your process first, and then we're going to get into we're going to go round by round. We're going to tease y'all a little bit. Okay. We're going to go round by round and give Bill's picks.
Yeah. So, we at sportingnews.com, Selection Sunday was a very big day. We had a lot of different things we had to get done, but one thing we wanted to do is Bill Bender and I both wanted to fill out a bracket sort of similar to the expert brackets we do for the basketball March Madness Selection Sunday. Those are always very popular. Try to get them out as quick as you can. It was hard to do any work in advance because there was no telling what the seeds were going to be and what the matchups were going to be. So once I cleared the decks a little bit, I have some more editorial stuff than Bender does. So I actually saw Bender's picks before my picks and then had to send his off to creative to get the design people to do his bracket, whatever. And I looked at him, and next time you see Bill Bender, call him Chalk Bender, if you would, because in all 11 games, he picked the higher ranked team to beat the lower ranked team.
So lazy.
So I said to myself, not seated, ranked. He did pick the rank. So even though he's got, Penn State going on as a sixth seed or whatever, mm-hmm. or five seed, whatever, it was just like, no, Bender, you're just picking the ranked over the over the higher ranked team. But anyway, so I was like, I got to think of a way to go about more of a dark horse. I think Oregon is a worthy favorite. There's no mm-hmm. question about it. Only undefeated team, obviously. Quarterback that has played big in big games, even before he got to Oregon. Their defense is very good. They got a lot of good players on it. It would take an upset to beat Oregon. They are, like I said, a worthy favorite. I come back a little bit to going, 16-0 is not easy, especially when those four games, the last four games, will be in Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Atlanta, none of which are anywhere near Eugene.
Unless they're playing in Seattle, there isn't a whole lot close to Eugene.
There's not a lot close to Eugene. That's a lot. And you look at the last road trip they did, I think it was against Wisconsin, they looked a little burned. They had to struggle with a 5-7 team. And I think travel may have had a little bit to do with it, and travel's not even close to over for those guys. But like I said, they're awesome. They're great. They're a worthy number one. It would take an upset to beat them. But I started looking at the dark horses, right, in the bracket and other teams that could win it. And I was like, well, Georgia, they've got quarterback concerns. Penn State, James Franklin does not have a great history as far as beating top five teams, top 10 teams. Everybody knows those numbers. I looked at Ohio State. They got a heck of a road ahead of them with Tennessee and Oregon right off the bat. That's not easy. And so then I looked at Texas, and I'm like, well, they haven't really beaten a good team this year. Quinn Ewers does not look like the early season Quinn Ewers to me right now. And then I got to Notre Dame, and I could make a case for their path through the bracket. They're on a nice winning streak. Hasn't been against the best competition, but I was looking for a little bit of a dark horse. I picked them to upset Oregon in the championship game.
Oh, you gave it away too soon. I was gonna walk everybody through this. So let's kind of go through your bracket, Bill. You have Texas, so we'll just kind of give just quickly the couple of the ones that people. You already said Notre Dame, so you have Notre Dame beating Indiana, Penn State, you have beating SMU, and then Texas beating Clemson. You do have one upset in the first round, Bill.
All right. If you've been following along this season, you already know it's been a wild ride. And we're only partway through, and favorites are cashing in at a historic rate. I've been using MyBookie all season, and it's been paying off big time. If you're wondering where to start, I got a little cheat code for you. Risk-free Thursdays. Every Thursday, take advantage of a no-pressure bet that's there to help you build up your bankroll. Just look under Bet Boost tabs in the sportsbook, and you'll see it. It's basically a free shot at some extra cash, and who doesn't love that? And look, I get why people might ask, why my bookie? So here's my take. They make it easy for us to bet smart and bet big. It's not about throwing out random parlays. It's about finding value and making plays that make sense. Funny thing is, when I need a break from betting, I always end up in the live casino. Blackjack on a Friday night? Count me in. For those who haven't jumped in yet, use my promo code Irish on your first deposit, and they'll double your money instantly. I'm talking extra cash in your account right away, no wait or hassle, and you can use it in any game you want. So go ahead. You can bet anytime, anything, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
You have Ohio State over or Tennessee beating Ohio State. So let's talk about that. What did you see from the Volunteers that has you picking that up?
I feel like Tennessee.
By the way, Trev kind of agrees with you. He's thinking that that's the most likely upset game in the first round is what.
As it should be with an 8-9 game, I guess, you know, although the seeding is so jacked, but the 8-9 game, you should have a decent chance at an upset. I think obviously the mindset around Columbus right now is not great. Ryan Day is under serious pressure. How has he performed under serious pressure in recent years? Not great. But to me, Tennessee is built a little bit like Michigan. And Michigan obviously gave them a lot of trouble. They have a very good defensive line. It's not going to be easy for Ohio State to run on them. It's presumably going to be cold and gross. And so the advantage they have at wide receiver, they might not be able to exploit as much. Tennessee has a better quarterback situation than Michigan does, obviously. So I started to think about that's what it struck me, is that Tennessee might be – they're not quite as dominant on defense as Michigan, but they do have a good defensive line, which gave the Ohio State O-line so much trouble when they tried to run the ball between the tackles all day. And so that was my upset, is a little bit of the mindset going on with Ohio State, the uncomfortable situation after losing to Michigan again, and then how Tennessee is put together.
Yeah. It's interesting too, Bill, just briefly, Ohio State the last couple of years has not looked really good out of conference either the last couple of years offensively. Outside of maybe you could say like the Georgia game, right, sure. 2 years ago, but like they didn't play well offensively against Notre Dame in 2022. They didn't play well against Notre Dame last year. They got embarrassed by Missouri last year. So it is interesting to see how they're going to perform in this game. I also think it's ironic that Ohio State is the one Northern team that probably benefits when they have to go play South in the winter, because the way they've constructed this team, it's about speed and finesse and passing the football, which, you know, anyone that grew up and Trev grew up in Indiana, I grew up in Ohio, Bill, I know you spent some time up north in this time of the year, that's not exactly conducive to Northern weather in November and September, or November and December. So I do find that kind of interesting, fascinating. So we get to round two. Bill.
Yeah, well, one point on that, too, is I was thinking about when I was watching the Boise State UNLV game, I think college players are going to have a harder time adapting to the cold, gross December weather than NFL players do. And we're going to see some sloppier first-round games with these three northern sites than maybe we expect and maybe we're used to. And if you remember way back, when this thing was kind of announced, I think it was Gene Smith, who was the athletic director at Ohio State, talked about maybe moving these games indoors. It was going to be up to the teams. They could move it to the Indianapolis, the Colts indoor facility, or Detroit indoor facility. That quickly got squashed because I think people were just really excited to have on-campus games. But and, I think and the reason why he planted that seed was just like what you're talking about, is Ohio State on the fast track, the way they're built, is better to play indoors.
Yeah. Whereas Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, they're like, bring it. bring it up here in the outdoor stadium, because that's right in their wheelhouse of how they play football. So let's go to round two, Bill. You have, obviously, you said you had Oregon and Notre Dame in the championship game. So obviously you have Oregon beating Tennessee. You have Notre Dame beating Georgia. I'll get to that in a second. Penn State, you have beating Boise State. You have what I believe is going to be considered an upset, although it's a higher seed higher seed winning. But I think we all anticipate that Texas will be favored to beat Arizona State. You have the Sun Devils pulling off the upset. What did you see?
I do. I think it's just the nature of the beast. I think there's going to be an upset or two in here. I had to find one. I've liked Texas. Their defense is great. Obviously, they got a great corner. He's first team All America. Hint, hint. I mean, spoiler alert, we just did our All Americans today. But, you know, the way Arizona State's going, it cracks me up. They're just like Kenny Dillingham. And when Scadaboo threw that pass and just like I thought he was going to have a meltdown on the sideline, but which is not his first meltdown. I don't have a ton of I'm just riding the wave with these Sun Devils. Mm-hmm. Like, I picked Iowa State, and then they just absolutely trounced them. You know, I was like, Dillingham, he's like, doesn't have experience. It doesn't seem to matter. They're up rolling right now. Maybe they get the jump on Texas early with, a turnover two or whatever. It's in the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta. And so that's, where Texas got beat by Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, on paper, I'd say Texas, but I'm just going with the underdog here.
They're playing like that team where you want to be like, you guys know you're not supposed to be here, right? You know what I mean? Like, do you guys know who you are, right? And they're like, yeah, we don't care. What do we got to lose? No one thinks we can do anything. So we're just out here having fun playing our game. That's absolutely how they're playing right now, Bill. The other games, obviously, you picked Notre Dame to beat Georgia. That's obviously a big one. Let's chat about that. Why do you, is it just simply about the quarterback being out, or are there other things that you see?
A little bit. I think, another thing is Georgia dominated the line of scrimmage a little bit against Texas, but that has not been the way they've played most of the year. Their rushing defense is not up to the normal Kirby Smart standards of the last few years. And of course, Notre Dame's going to try to run the ball first. They're a run first team. They've got two great running backs. They've got a quarterback that's extremely elusive. And so, which Georgia defensive line, which Georgia front seven shows up in that game? Notre Dame's able to run the ball and control the clock a little bit. And now Gunnar Stockton is playing from behind, and he is trying to, get the Bulldogs out of a hole a little bit. I mean, he did a great job in that first drive against Texas. Rest of the game, they did not do great things. He'd had a nice scramble in overtime. Of course, he got knocked out of the game with the, the helmet came off and all that. He is more of a runner than Carson Beck. I don't think he's an elite runner, though. I mean, I've only saw him for a half, so it's hard to totally judge. But he's, he's not in Riley Leonard's class or something like that.
He's a power runner, Bill. He had over 4,000 yards rushing in high school. He's that kind of like that bulldozer type. Our comparison we said on our show is he's the one Power 5 quarterback I could see transfer to Army and do what Bryson Daly's doing. You know what I mean? Like similar style of just he's a fullback playing quarterback. He's a much better thrower than Bryson Daly. I mean, as a runner, that's what he did in high school. It's that downhill, he can pull it and run. He's not going to, he's not Riley Leonard. He's not Jalen Milroe, but he's a guy that on third and one, you're going to be running power read, and he's going to be hammering his old 6'1", squatty, 220-pound booty up in there and converting the chains and making big plays that way. And right. You saw in that game, he's not afraid to take a hit.
No, he's not afraid to take a hit. He's not like the SMU quarterback who's going to like be elusive
and make a boom.
So yeah. I don't know. I mean, Notre Dame's defense is pretty good. I think we were all in agreement there. So playing a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience, you saw that inexperience on that interception he threw under pressure. He basically the end zone camera show. He had two guys on a cross wide open.
Yeah,
and then he tried to throw it out of bounds and couldn't get it there. So that was just a panic situation. That's fine, whatever. He hasn't played very much, and they did get on him quick. But I think Notre Dame can get on him quick too. And so I think, and especially if it's Stockton, if Jeremiah Love is healthy, and Notre Dame goes into that game on a little bit of a roll, I think that the point spread is going to be very close, a lot closer than a normal maybe Georgia and Notre Dame game might be.
Yeah, I saw the early line is Notre Dame minus two is the early Vegas lines I've seen, two and a half, where Notre Dame's the favorite, which I think is...
That's quite early.
Yeah, very.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is in large part due to, obviously, Carson Beck likely being out. But yeah, still, it's not going to be like where it's plus 10 and then goes to minus two because of Carson Beck, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to be that.
If you're like me, you're looking for an edge for sports betting. So when I heard Masterclass had a new class on betting the odds taught by the pros who've made millions, I had to check it out. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become the best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow from over 200 of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Go past guessing, learn data-driven strategies and tactical thinking from the pros who've mastered high-stakes sports betting. Sharpen your skills, assess risks, and make better decisions. And the classes really do make a difference. 88% of members feel that Masterclass has made a positive impact on their lives. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/Irish for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/Irish. masterclass.com/Irish. And remember, all sports betting involves risk, and you are responsible for complying with all sports betting laws in your jurisdiction. So forget the lucky jersey or the assigned seating on game day. Learn from the sharps who meticulously manage risk and evaluate data when making decisions on where and when to wager their money. Only with Masterclass. You've had Wendy's nugs dipped in sauce, but have you had them covered in sauce? Wendy's new saucy nugs takes the crispy and spicy nugs that you love and turn them up to 11. Choose between flavors like buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, or if you're a real heat seeker, try spicy ghost pepper only on Wendy's signature spicy nugs. I dare you. That's 7 delicious ways to try the nugs you already love. Pick a flavor, grab some extra napkins, and prepare to nug like you've never nugged before. For a whole new way to nug, it's gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So next round, Bill, we know you have Oregon in the championship game, an old Pac-12 rematch. I thought that was pretty awesome to see a Pac-12 rematch in the semifinals, and it just makes you, hey, Larry Scott, you did this, right? This could have been you, but you did this. But you have Notre Dame and Penn State, a game that we have not seen played since 2007. Bill, last time Notre Dame and Penn State played each other, you have them squaring off against each other in the semifinals. You have the Irish winning that game.
It's going to be hard to see a Notre Dame-Penn State game. You have visions of Reggie Brooks catching the ball in the snow, and now they're competing in Miami? That's not going to be – that doesn't feel like Notre Dame-Penn State to me. But, again, I think it's the running game, and it's the defense, and it's James Franklin's sort of – inability to get it done on the biggest stage. Now, they're going to have some momentum if they obviously get this far with a couple of wins. I feel like, you know, Riley Leonard, he's making strides in the passing game. He was a better passer in the second half of the season than he was in the first half of the season. He's getting more accurate. The Notre Dame offensive line has been playing better. We'll see. It's an upgrade in competition. But I feel like this team is more put together than the Penn State team. And I think James Franklin gets tight in these games. We've seen that. He would be tight in this one. His gambles paid off. He did a great job in the fourth quarter. Hats off to him in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, that fake punt was terrific. They executed it well and, put the game out of reach, really. I mean, I like how Penn State has been playing, but to me, it's just this Notre Dame team is just on such a roll right now, it's hard to pick against them.
And James Franklin is not going to go from never winning any big games to like three in a row, right? I mean, I just don't see how that happens, right? I mean, I just don't see it. But, that Oregon game, I said this, that was one of the most impressive Penn State games they've played in years, and it was a loss. I mean, I give them a lot of credit. They could have easily just kind of rolled over and died after falling behind 28-10, and they didn't. But I kind of felt like that's when James Franklin's in his wheelhouse, when there's no pressure. Hey, we're down 28-10. I got nothing to lose. I can not coach tight now because we're down big, you know, and that's kind of what happened. And then, of course,
they get a close game. That fake punt I referred to with the Minnesota game when he was trying to run off the flag against Minnesota. Obviously the Big Ten championship game. You're right. I mean, it was two scores, one score, two scores, one score, and it felt on the verge, and they never let it get out of reach.
Right. You got to give him credit for that. I mean, they competed. But that's the biggest stage he's been on all year, and we're giving him credit for not getting blown out. Right. I mean, like, same thing with, give you a lot of credit. That's the stuff that Brian Kelly used to, require praise for. Well, hey, we didn't lose to Alabama as much as Ohio State did, and we didn't lose to Clemson as much as Alabama did. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you know you're not a big game guy, when you start talking about that nonsense. But so championship game, Bill, we have the number one overall and number one seeded Oregon Ducks against the number seven seeded but number five ranked, which is so confusing, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You have the good guys. Or excuse me, you have Notre Dame winning it all.
Hey,
let's talk about why.
Paul Meyerberg, USA Today Sports, also has Notre Dame winning the national championship.
My man.
I listened to his podcast yesterday, the Football Fix with Dan Wolkin, and he likes the Irish. Dan was surprised by that pick, but same thing that he was kind of saying that I was saying. I mean, Oregon's scary. Tez Johnson is an awesome wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. Evan Stewart was great against Ohio State the first time around. He was a dominating guy. They've got three of their guys, I think, on the defensive line are either first or second team All Big Ten. It's not just Uiagalelei. They got two more guys.
Birch, who Notre Dame has actually faced. They faced him a couple years ago at South Carolina. Really good football player.
Mm-hmm.
Really good football player.
So, you know, there's work to be done, but like I said, I think that the challenge is trying to go 16-0, trying to do it so many long road trips. It's going to be a grueling tournament for sure. And, I like the amount of turnovers that Notre Dame has forced this year. I think they're first in the country or first or second.
Tied for first, but they've played one fewer game than Texas, who's tied with them.
Okay. So, you get Oregon in a hole, you get the running game going. And who knows what happens? Maybe Gabriel starts forcing it a little bit. Maybe he does turn the ball over and Notre Dame pulls off the upset. So, I mean, if I was Vegas, I'd say, Oregon might be an 8 or 9 point favorite, maybe. But we've seen bigger upsets this year. I think Northern Illinois got Notre Dame, maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah.
A&M
was also favored against Notre Dame.
There you go.
This is an argument I was having with a Georgia guy a couple weeks ago. He was trying to say that, the reason Georgia should have been ranked ahead of Notre Dame, this is before they even played, after the Georgia Tech game, before they played Texas. And I was like, well, they'd be favored to win by 10. And I'm like, weren't they favored to beat, Oklahoma or Georgia? I mean, Alabama, weren't they favored to beat Georgia Tech by 18? Weren't they favored to beat Ole Miss? Wasn't Texas favored to beat them the first time they played? You know what I mean? Like, that's irrelevant. Wasn't Alabama favored to kill Vanderbilt and whoop Oklahoma, right? Like, this stuff is irrelevant. It's the, especially in a year like this, Bill, where there is no, we've said this all year, there is no 2018 Clemson. There is no 2019 LSU. There is no 2020 Bama. There's not even a 2021 or 2020 Georgia team in college football this year, which makes this to where I think there's five, maybe six teams that have a chance to win it all, in my opinion. And Notre Dame's one of them.
Yeah, those teams that you mentioned, that's what it would take to go 16-0, I think.
Right.
In this setup and all the upsets we've seen this year and everything like that. And I agree with you. I think I might have put that in my column that there isn't a 19 LSU or a 20 Alabama. And it's going to be a challenge. So, like I said, Oregon's a worthy number one, obviously. Avoided the chaos. That was Bender's expression he used all year talking about Oregon. They avoided the chaos, and nobody else did.
Right.
But – I don't know. I don't know that they have the juice to go all the way. Now, on the flip side, how many were we asking Notre Dame to win in a row, right?
Right. That would be
15.
Maybe 14 in a row. Yeah, 14 in a row.
I mean, that's not an easy task either.
Right.
But I had to go dark horse after Bender went chalk all the way.
I know, right? I'm gonna text him here in a minute and be like, look, man, you went soft on me. You know what I mean? Like, you went soft on me a little bit. But I just feel like the way this season has gone, Bill, I would just find it really shocking if it's just a status quo, you know, highest ranked teams win. There's nothing about this season that makes us think that's how the postseason is going to go. Right. Like, I'm starting to think, like, Clemson doesn't have a shot to beat Texas. Like, I mean, the only reason they're even in here is because of this and that, and they're not that good. And then just like, I'm like, but that's exactly why I'd be nervous about that game if I'm a Texas fan. Right. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, there's no way that Boise State's going to win a postseason. But that's the same reason why I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to, you know, write them off. Cause some of these teams are like, dude, we got nothing to lose right now. Mm-hmm. Like Arizona State, Clemson, SMU, Boise State, Indiana, those teams have no one expects anything of them, which makes them dangerous because they can just kind of go out and play.
Right.
And that's what I think is going to make for a really, really fun postseason. As long as the team you root for isn't knocked out in the first round, then you may not find it to be a very fun postseason. But I think it's going to be so. There's no doubt about it. So.
Now, I'm sure you've broken down Indiana, Notre Dame already. My thoughts on it was that it's going to look a little bit like Indiana, Ohio State, and if Notre Dame's front seven can dominate, that's the goal, is to have Notre Dame's front seven dominate like Ohio State's front seven. Do you see it that way too?
Absolutely. They can't let Curtis Work sit in a pocket. I mean, he's an experienced kid. He was very good at Ohio when he was healthy. They don't have elite receivers. You know, this is not the best receiving core Notre Dame has faced this year. Louisville and USC both have better. I think you could argue Georgia Tech is comparable, and Georgia found that out. But just they play so well as a team, Bill. I mean, we talked about this. I said this is my way of explaining what makes them good. They have a bunch. It's like a G5 all-star team that plays with a G5 chip on their shoulder, right? These are the best of that level that have come to this level. They're not future first-round draft picks.
From the coach on down.
Right, exactly. And they play with that G5 chip on their shoulder. And then, of course, Cignetti spent some time at Alabama under Nick Saban, so it's not like he hasn't been around this type of environment before. But they're going to play like they got nothing to lose. And they played like they had nothing to lose against Ohio State. I mean, when it took that first drive right downfield and scored, it's just at some point in time when the other team definitely has better athletes than you and can beat you in the trenches, that's when they got in trouble. And that's what happened after the first quarter and a half against Michigan. They jumped on Michigan early, and then all of a sudden Michigan started kind of beating them up in the trenches, and that's what allowed Michigan to get back in that game. Unfortunately, Michigan doesn't have the athletes on the perimeter. Well, unfortunately for Michigan, they don't have the athletes on the perimeter to have hurt them the way that Ohio State could defensively and offensively. And that's the recipe for a team like that, especially on your home field, is you've got to overwhelm that kid. You can't let him get comfortable. You can't let him get to a rhythm. And that's why I explained yesterday, somebody, you know, I think Indiana's a better team than SMU in several ways. But if you're asking me which one I'd rather face Indiana, because the mobile quarterback is the guy that makes you concerned. And we saw that against USC. Notre Dame had three or four sack opportunities against Jaden Maiava that they couldn't bring him down. Well, Curtis Rourke is going down in those situations. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is that those transfer, those pocket quarterbacks are not the guys that have given Notre Dame problems the last few years. It's Caleb Williams in 2022, right? It's guys like that have given Notre Dame those issues on Notre Dame defense issues. And this is a defense that's faced CJ Stroud, Drake May, Caleb Williams, you know, some big time quarterbacks, and they've really kept them all in check, with the exception of the occasional game where a guy just runs around and makes a lot of plays. And so I have a hard time seeing, you know, Indiana being that team. And of course, Notre Dame gets Howard Cross back, which is going to be huge. You know, I think that really impacted that pass rush against USC, not having him back. And of course, Riley Mills, they had a great, I mean, you watch that USC game, they just double teamed Riley Mills the whole game. Because you didn't know Howard Cross. Well, you could try that. If Indiana tries that, you've got to deal with Howard Cross now. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And I thought they were just worn out. And I actually think, Bill, going into the playoffs, I think the USC game was exactly what Notre Dame needed. They needed that game where they were challenged for four quarters. They had to stay locked in. And I mean, the last time Notre Dame was in a third quarter where the game was really actually thought, gee, they may not win this game, it's Northern Illinois. Even the Louisville game, you never thought Louisville was going to win. You're just like, what's the mark? Is it going to be 14? Is it going to be 7? Is, you know, you never felt they're going to lose. They, you know, they led every other team at halftime, usually by double digits. They put teams away early. This is the first time they were actually in a game at halftime where it was close. And then, of course, they took a 14-point lead into the fourth quarter, and USC battled back and made it competitive. And I think they needed a game like this where things weren't going their way. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to step up and make a play in a clutch situation, and they hadn't been in that since September 6th. I mean, if we're being honest, they hadn't been in a game where that was needed since September 6th. And I think that's something that helps them, along with the three-week rest, is going to help them going into the postseason.
One final question. I'll let you get back to your rundown and your own show here. But Penn State got the tiebreaker for the Big Ten championship game by a very small margin over Indiana. Had Indiana gotten the tiebreaker and gotten beat by 14 points, 17 points to Oregon, do they even make the playoff?
No. No, I think it's the same thing that we talked about this with SMU. If Clemson would have just kept on SMU, 31-14, just punch one more in, SMU scores, it's a 38-21, 38-24 game, they're out, Bama's in. And I think the same thing would have been true if Indiana would have gone into the Big Ten title game. If they would have lost by a game where it's, 14-17, they're just not in it. It's just not competitive. I think they'd have dropped them out and put Bama back. And I think the committee was looking for a reason to put Bama back into the 12. But I think the way that SMU came back, it would have been impossible. After what Ward Manuel had said about, we're not going to punish teams that lose the conference title games and all this kind of stuff. The minute it became a close game, you were like, well, we can't drop them out now. And I think the same thing would have been true if Indiana would have been in there. If they would have got smacked by Oregon, I think they would have dropped them out. They were far enough down where I think they would have dropped them behind Bama. But if they would have lost the same way Penn State did, I don't think they would have dropped them out.
I just feel like their berth is tenuous at best. They were lucky they didn't have to play that Big Ten championship game, and they almost had to have.
And I think that'd have been a bad match.
Bender the other day, I like the championship games. A lot of people are saying they've been devalued, and they have probably to a certain extent. But given the schedules, the unbalanced schedules within these leagues, you can have your SMUs and your Indianas not really play anybody and like get what finish way up there. But if you have to go to the championship game, that's a valuable data point to evaluate them against a good team.
The only one I'd push back a little bit on is SMU, because they actually did play several of the top teams in the SEC or the ACC. And they also played BYU out of conference. They played an 8-win TCU team out of conference, had to play Louisville on the road, beat Louisville on the road. That's a good football team.
I think Louisville was their only one in the top five or six in the league.
I thought they had two. Pitt was also, they had six. There were six teams other than SMU that finished above 500 in the ACC. They played two of them in the regular season. They played Pitt and they played Louisville. Both had those because what was
7-0 and then 7-5.
Huh?
Pitt went 7-0 and then
they got smacked in when they got to league play. There's no doubt that, but that's also partly why I felt the ACC was a little bit. That's a different conversation for a different day. But to your point though, Bill, it's like. You look at the SEC, for example. There's the schedule Georgia had. There's the schedule Bama had. And then there's the schedule that Missouri had. And then there's the schedule that Texas had in like three varying degrees, right? And when you have this 16, 18-team leagues, it's like you're going to look at Penn State and be like, well, they didn't play anybody. They only played really one good team all year because Michigan was down. Well, they actually didn't play Michigan this year. They really played one good team all year because USC was down. But even if USC was good, that's only two really good games all year. And then Ohio State has to play Oregon. They have to play Michigan. They have to play Penn State. But it's like, you guys did this to yourselves. I don't have any sympathy for you. You did this to yourselves by adding all these teams to your league. You didn't need to do that.
Right. And that was my point was, so now they got to play a good team at the end of the season, at least,
Right.
And so if we get rid of those, now you're going to have suspect second, third, fourth, second place teams that we didn't necessarily see play the iron of the league.
I'm going to give you something to chew on, Bill, and we're going to discuss this over the summer.
Okay.
What about these bigger leagues doing this? SEC, Big Ten, go to 8 league games, 3 non-conference games. In the last week of the regular season, you begin a 2-round, 4-team conference tournament. And the teams that don't make it, you then schedule another conference game where they have to play each other. And so 1-4 highest seeded teams play, and then 2-3, and then the winners play in the conference championship game on championship weekend.
That solves it a little bit more than what I was saying. Yeah, because now it's two data points.
Right.
That the community gets to see against good teams.
Right.
I
don't know. The coaches would love it because you wouldn't know who your opponent's going to be in that last, you know, that last regular season week, you know.
Right.
And that would affect rivalry week. You'd have to maybe move that up a week, that kind of thing. But I think things like that, you're going to have to get creative with things like that because there's no possible way to make the schedules balanced because of you don't know who's going to be good from year to year.
Right.
You can say, well, we want to give this team a tough schedule, so let's put Florida State on their schedule who just went 13-1, and then all of a sudden Florida State sucks because of the way the portal works. And so it used to be where, like, okay, you would always know Penn State always had to play Ohio State and Michigan. Michigan always had to play Ohio State, or, you know, Ohio State and Penn State. You know, Alabama always had to play A&M and Ole Miss and LSU, and you always had those games. Now it's like one year you may have a gauntlet of a schedule, and the next year you may have a cupcake. Like Georgia, 23 schedule, incredibly soft. 24 schedule, brutal. You know what I mean? It's like you just – because you never know who's going to be good, who's not going to be good, and it's just going to create a lot of imbalance. And when they cry about it, I'm like, well, this is your fault. You did this. You're the ones that kept adding teams to your league and created this, you know, atrocity that we're seeing now. So stop crying about it because you did this. You know what I mean? ACC doesn't need to add Cal, Stanford, and SMU if you guys don't start this process. You know what I mean? So, you know, Oregon, don't cry about all the travel you got to do, which they haven't so far, to be honest with you, because you chose this to a degree. Well, the school that I had the least sympathy for is USC, you know, because they're crying about their schedule. We've had to go to it. Well, you guys, you're the one that started this. If you guys wouldn't have done this, Oregon would still be playing in the Pac-12. Washington still be in the Pac-12. So I just don't have a lot of sympathy for those teams. But, Bill, great stuff, man. Everybody, if you want to find Bill's work, obviously you can always go to Sporting News. That's the best way to find all the content that Bill Troche and Bill Bender have. If you want to find Bill Troche's work on Twitter, you can always go there at Bill Troche, T-R-O-C-C-H-I. You can find him there as well. So, Bill, thanks for so much for being with us. And, of course, everybody, that's why you need to be on the CFB Nation podcast, because Bill is and Bill Bender and Bill Troche are both, they're the co-hosts of the CFB All-America show. You guys have an episode out today. You kind of gave your recap of the bracket. You talked about the Bill Belichick stuff. You guys had a lot of different things to talk about. So definitely check out those guys at CFB Nation. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
All right. Thanks, Brian. That was fun.
Take care. So, Trev, there you go. Bill Troche, my dude, picking Notre Dame to win it all. I said, look at you sucking up to Notre Dame fans. He's still listening, by the way. But no, it is interesting to see the variance in opinions that people have about these different teams going into the playoffs, which I think is a byproduct of the fact there really aren't any great teams going into this postseason. There really aren't, you know? So,
no, I mean, it's wide open. We've been talking about that since what, week 8, and just how, barring any team really blowing the doors off of multiple. Now, mind you, there was a team that was blowing off the doors of every opponent that they played, and that team is located in South Bend, but that team could never be considered an elite team, right? So, you know, but there is no true 2018 Clemson, 19 LSU. So I agree. It is wide open. So this year it's all going to come down to the path and who can handle the pressure well, because, yeah, I think, like, there are some coaches where it favors, you know what I mean? Like, coaches that have played in playoff and big games before. But I was talking to a buddy about this. Like, well, how many playoff games has Marcus Freeman coached in? And it's like, well, listen, guys, like, they're all going into their first 12-team playoff that they've ever had to, you know what I mean? I mean, somebody brought up James Franklin. And it's like, well, James Franklin and Marcus Freeman are both coaching in their first playoff game ever. And James Franklin has been at Happy Valley for a decade. So, I mean, Marcus Freeman's been there for 3 years, and this is his third. So, like, whatever you want to say there, you start splitting hairs. But, you know, it's wide open. And it's who's going to handle the pressure the best, you know, who's able to handle the spotlight the most. And, I mean, I like Notre Dame in that aspect because the spotlight's on them every week. You know, they're nationally televised every week. So, it's going to be interesting.
Well, Trev, that's going to do it for segment one. I wanted to have some fun with that and just kind of surprise everybody a little bit with that and have Bill on. Because when he saw that, I was like, oh, dude, you got to come on the show and tell people why you see that, why you have that. But yeah. We're going to get to the defensive breakdown next, folks. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit that notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast version. And of course, as always, everybody, sign up for the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com.